a tour of the cages, or masters one by one. English masters. English masters have long hair, red ties, and weeds like Wordsworth throw them into ecstasies. They teach English, e.g., "My God, you didn't ought to write a sentence like that, Molesworth." For prep, they always set an essay, if they can think of one. In the good old days, it was always something like, "What I did in the holes," "A country ramble," "A day at a railway station." Now, English masters are advanced chis, and they're all about T.S. Eliot, Christopher Fry, Auden, etc., etc., and they read them so beautifully they make Fallington Thomas blub. He is a sissy and not worth a D. For essays, English masters give us weedy things like "A Trip in a Spaceship," "My Favourite Machine Gun," "What to Do with Masters." You see what I mean? In the old days, you knew where you were, but now they're trying to read your inmost thoughts. Heaven help them. When English masters cannot think of an essay, they set 10 lines of poetry. Poetry. Poetry is sissy stuff that rhymes. Weedy people say la and fi and swoon when they see a bunch of daffodils. Actually, there is only one piece of poetry in the English language. The brook. "I come from haunts of coot and hern. I make a sud and sally. The fern to bicker down a valley." That is the lot, though the charge of the Light Brigade and the loss of the Royal George are nearly poetry too. Even advanced English masters set the brook. They say it is quaint, dated, jejune, etc. But really, they are all in league with parents who can all recite it, and do if given half a chance. Even Gillibrand's pater, General Sir Gustav Godolphin Gillibrand, say the brook is tip-top and commend it to his men before going into battle, instead of rum. Not a bad wheeze, actually, but I would have an English master in front instead of a piper. In all the bullets, whams, bonks and explosions, no English master would escape his fate. Sometimes we have to recite, which is girly in the extreme, and there is no chance to read famous crib, which you copied out in prep. When I recite, it is something like this. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Creeps in the last... tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Creeps in this... out. Out! Brief candle. No, yes, I know, sir. Half a minute, sir. Yes. Fie. Oh, fie. Tis an unweeded syllable, and... No. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. In other words, quite frankly, I just don't know it. Also, quite frankly, I couldn't care less. So much for English masters. Latin masters. Latin masters teach lat, which is different from eng, geom, algae, fr, and others, because it is first period after break. Imagine putting lat of all things after cocoa and buns. They ought to give us indigestion tablets which fizz, like Mum have with a hangover. If you wake up for long enough, you find that everything in lat happened a long time ago. Latin masters, therefore, are always old and bent with age. You can hear their footsteps a long way off. Thump, thump, shuffle, shuffle, and can put all sweets, bludgeons, daggers, coshes, swords, white mice, cheese, marbles, or whatever is happening to engage your fancy, back inside the desk. Latin master, finally, make great heave and totter towards desk. He would think it was Mount Everest. Will he ever make it? Effort. He sits in the chair, panting. The lesson will commence. "Open, Hilliard and Botting. Turn to X1A, Section 2, Sentence 6. If Latin masters are slow starters, once they get a Latin X, they go like a jet rocket. In fact, you would think they were running in the Derby, only faster. Chiz. They say, "A Gauls, a galley, subject, go on, Molesworth, a pugnant. What does a pugnant mean? They're attacking fosses, ditches." "Well, what do you say, Molesworth? Why on earth attack a ditch? Keep your mind on the sentence, the Gauls are attacking the ditches. What? I'm quite unable to inform you, Molesworth, for what purpose the Gauls wish to attack the ditches. The Latin is correct, that suffices." We proceed. Said it is. What? Said it is. Meldworth. What case? Come along, boy. Said it. First declension. With arrows. By, with, or from arrows. What is that, Meldworth? For the last time, your opinion that it is soppy to attack a dish does not interest me. Or what you personally would do with an arrow? No, nor do I know where the bows are. Likewise, the question of whether there were buckets of blood is immaterial. The Gauls are attacking the ditches with arrows. Telisque. Telisque, Meldworth. Actually, the trick is to look dopey, and then the Latin master will do all the translation himself. Latin prose is different. It's either about a reed called Cotta, who is always beating the Belgians, or about Romulus and Remus, who are a couple of babies who founded the city of Rome. Cheers. If only they had abstained, there would be no Lat, and no one could say hunk, hank, hock, without being put in a sty with a school pig. And rightly, too. All Latin masters have one joke. Caesar had some jam for tea. Or Caesar had some jam for tea. N.B. A good roar of laughter will cut the lesson by 2 minutes 6 seconds. Or half a gender rhyme. A ab absque corum de palum clam cum x and a etc. What rot, eh? I mean to say. French masters. According to ancient tradition, no French master can keep order. Whenever a French master appears in the doorway, it is a signal for a hail of inkpots, rubbers, chalk and stink bombs, poo gosh. The Frere master then loses his temper and say, Mon Dieu, can I alley-oop? Or, My God, they're at it again. Actually, Frere masters seldom get a chance to say anything, either in ing or Frere. But sometimes the boys are exhausted with raging and glad of the rest, so the Frere master speaks. He speaks then of Armand, who is utterly wet. Armand is a small boy who wear a striped shirt and a round sissy straw hat, like a girly. One day, Armand is eating his breakfast when his father say, Today we go for our holidays, au bord de la mer. Armand is thrilled. He say, Oh, papa, are there flowers by the seaside? You can tell the sort he is. In any case, there must have been something wrong if they only told he was going to Dieppe in the morning. Armand say, May I take my bucket and spade, Papa? Yes, said Papa, and your windmill. You see, are there boats on this sea? Asks Armand. So you can see that I think Papa is only taking him to Dieppe in order to drown him. Maths masters are very stern, strict, and fearsome. No one in class ever stirs as a maths master approach. You can hear a pin drop. The only way with a maths master is to have a very worried expression. Stare at the book intently with a deep frown, as if furious that you cannot see the answer. At the same time, scratch the head with the end of the pen. After 5 minutes, it's not safe to do nothing any longer. Brush away all the objects which have fallen out of the hair and put up hand.
Sir?
Whisper.
Please, sir?
Louder.
Yes, Meldworth?
Say, maths master. Thinks. It is that utter worm again. Chiz.
Sir, I don't quite see this.
M.B., it is essential to say you don't quite see some, as this means you are only temporarily baffled by unruly equation, and not that you don't know the faintest about any of it. Dialogue continue.
What do you not see, Meldworth?
Say, maths master. Thinks. A worthy dolt who is making an honest effort.
Number 6, sir. I can't make it out, sir.
What can you not make out, Meldworth?
Number 6, sir.
It is all very simple, Meldworth, if you had been paying attention to what I was saying at the beginning of the lesson. Go back to your desk and think. This gets the boy nowhere, but it surely is keen, which is important with maths masters. Maths masters do not like neck of any kind and cannot stand the casual approach. How not to approach a maths master?
Sir? Sir, please, sir.
Yes, Molesworth.
I simply haven't the foggiest about number six, sir.
Indeed, Molesworth.
It's just a jumble of letters, sir. I mean, I know I couldn't care less whether I get it right or not, but what sort of an ass, sir, can have written this book?
Massmaster give bellow of rage and tear across room with dividers. He hurl me 3 times round head and then out of the window. Massmasters do not stop at a riff and algae. They include geom. And to do this, they have a huge wooden compass with chalk in the end for the blackboard. The chalk make a frightful noise which set our delicate nerves jangling, my dear. But this is better than doing the actual geom itself. Pythagoras, as a matter of fact, is at the root of all geom. Instead of growing grapes, figs, dates, and other produce of Greece, Pythagoras applied himself to triangles and learnt some astounding things about them, which have been inflicted on boys ever since. Whenever he found a new thing about a triangle, Pythagoras, who had no shame, jumped out of his bath and shouted QED through the streets of Athens. It's a wonder they never locked him up. To do geom, you have to make a lot of things equal to each other, when you can see perfectly well that they don't. This, again, is due to Pythagoras, and it formed much of his conversation at breakfast. Pythagoras, helping himself to porridge.
I see the sum of the squares on AB and BC equals the square on AC.
Wife, dear, dear.
Pythagoras, I'm not surprised, not surprised at all. I've been saying that would come for years.
Wife,
yes, dear. Pythagoras, now they'll have to do something about it. More tea, please. There's another thing. The day is coming when they're going to have to face the fact that a straight line, if infinitely protracted, goes on forever.
Wife, quite so.
Pythagoras, now take the angle A for sample.
His wife suddenly loses control and throw the porridge at him. Enter Euclid, another weed, and the two boars go off together. Singing masters. Singing masters are frequently fr, maths, lat, or geog masters. This is because when they first come up to the headmaster and say, any odd jobs going? Chop your wood? The head say, yes, you could take 2B in div, geog, handiwork, and carpentry, but only if you play the organ and take singing as well. Singing master then touches cap. Give me a bit of a jingle, he say, and take out a mouth organ, at which headmaster flee into the woods. As singing masters stray into the job, so to speak, you get all sorts, and there is no real telling. I mean, we had one, you know, the one with a super sports car.
Rum-a-rum-a-rum-a-rum.
Who used to say,
OK, Hepcat, snap into the boogie.
Which was super. But the trouble with singing is headmasters hear it. They can't help it. That master was soon in his sports car headed for town. Etc. Which was hard cello, really. On the other hand, there are ones who say, let's have an opera. I mean to say, with our mob. Not that he didn't get a few weeds on his side, and what with Fotherington Thomas as Lieutenant Pinkerton and Molesworth II as Tannhauser, you couldn't hear yourself rag. Chiz. Personally, it's not the noise I object to in music. It is the words. I could not care less if I find the minstrel boy in the ranks of death. The sooner the better. He is utterly wet and unable to lift his father's sword. On the other hand, you can always put goldfish in the piano or something. So, if music be the food of love, play on, etc. Fortissimo.